labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am limited and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my soul and my burden is light. Be seated, please. I'm humbled but grateful for this occasion to worship with you this morning. Today, a good number of our men, folks, are in a spiritual retreat in Silver Spur of Conference Ground. It is a time where our brethren are given an opportunity to worship, to have fellowship, and a little time of rest from their mundane earthly tasks. It's a time that we make an effort to contemplate on the present status of this, of their life's direction. When I was young, that was a long, long time ago. I was fervently committed to my, when I was fervently committed to my own definition and understanding of giving my best for the Lord. In those days, I did have a nagging feeling that resting and vacationing is unchristian. There are times when I feel guilty, and I did struggle with this issue for a long time. Even though today our church has graciously given me and Mrs. Cruz some time to take a break or a vacation, sometimes I'm hesitant to use it. There are times I feel that I'm needed in church. This may not be true as far as the church is concerned. In fact, I believe that there were times that there were more people in church when I am gone than me and I am around. Nevertheless, that's how I do feel. And the question I'd like to propose to you this morning is planning and spending time away from the daily demand of work, civil, social, and or religious involvement. Is it biblical? Are there biblical examples where followers of Christ took time away from their labor of rest and vacation? Is vacation and rest period just another man-made scratches to establish the demands of life in how many believe the Bible teaches the necessity of finding true rest and getting back to normal? Some years ago, I know of an associate with the insurance business who literally ridicules anyone that takes time to a vacation. As far as he is concerned, working 7 days a week is a pleasure and he is happy. He enjoys his work and he never takes vacation. To him, vacation is a waste of time and money. He claims that many who spend time vacationing end up financially wrecked and physically exhausted. From the time they plan to the time they hit the road, half of their energy is already depleted. When they get to their vacation spot, everyone's nerve is at edge and a very slight provocation means explosion. But this time, going home becomes a welcome relief and rest. I believe in some ways his observation regarding the tragedy of bad vacation experiences is right. But does it mean seeking relief from the weariness and physical and mental and spiritual burdens go against God's plan? Edwin R. Roberts of Princeton Seminary once sat under a pastor who concluded his announcement, "I'm not going to take a vacation this summer. The devil never takes one." So Roberts went home and reread the gospel to see what Jesus' attitude is concerning this matter. He found that of the 3 years the Lord actively had been in the earthly ministry, he has, there were mention of several periods of time and rest and retreat. This was an addition to the nightly rest that he has and the Sabbath rest. One classic example is found in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 30-32. And in this passage, Mark 6:30-32. This is a classic example that he found in his study of the Word. Mark 6. Excuse me, sometimes I'm slow. We come moving around lately. In verse 30, he says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they have done and what they have taught. And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." This is one of the passages that we can read in the scripture how the Lord take time to see the need of getting away from the pressure of work and ministry that they have. So he pointed out the time that they should be resting. The question we now face is, whose example are we going to follow as it has been pointed out in the scripture by this Mr. Princeton, from James Princeton, Robert, he says, "Who shall we follow, the Lord or the devil?" And from our text, our Lord pointed out two pictures in this passage. One picture is of extreme weariness. The other one is the person has gone as far as he has gone. He cannot go no farther. He cannot take another step. The other picture is of extreme pressure. This is the person who is about to explode. He cannot take anything anymore. Christ does not say what caused the weariness or the pressure, heavy burden. It was not necessary, or it does not matter, for his invitation is for all to come. It is a simple invitation requiring a little and offering so much. Our text says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who is inviting? The Lord says, we find this, the Lord who says, "Come to me." It is Christ. Who are invited? All that are weary and are heavy laden. I'm not talking about a lazy husband who loves his TV program so much that when his wife reminds him about his work to clean the garage, he immediately stretches himself on the couch and cries, "Oh, I am weary and tired and feeling so sleepy. I could sleep for 24 hours and still feel sleepy." No, I am not talking about that kind of person. The Lord is inviting the weary and the burdened, the person who is exhausted and extremely tired and weighted down, ready to stop and collapse. There are several things that we can go on and consider the causes of our exhaustion and weariness. Work, being overburdened with too much to do, worldliness and carnality, fleshly pleasure, sin and guilt and the power of both, money and material possessions, and the unsatisfying spirit of both, fame and the emptiness of it, power and the loneliness of it, the rituals and tradition of religion and so on. Not knowing the truth of life is one of the major causes of exhaustion. Searching for truth but not coming to the truth discourages, exasperates, exhausts, and burdens us. It leaves us empty, uncertain, and insecure about the future. Or maybe you are here today and you are struggling with yourself as it relates to your self-image. You hate what you see about yourself. You are struggling with sin, guilt, or anger, or perhaps the fear of past, or the fear of the present, and or the fear of the future. It's just bearing you down. You are depressed, desperate and lonely. Physically, you are biologically busted. Emotionally, you are psychologically burned out. Mentally, you are rationally exhausted. Religiously, you are spiritually drained. Someone said the modern life can be spelled in three words: hurry, worry, and bury. Hurry, worry, and bury. If right now the Holy Spirit is showing you that you are aching and heavily burdened in any of these areas, the Lord has an invitation for you. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Why should the weary and the heavy laden come to Christ? Very simply, Christ will give you rest. Christ will give them rest. Rest is available, but we need to come to Jesus in order to receive the rest of God. Remember, no quality and amount of vacation time can release you from the weight of sin. You can spend all your money and use every hour of the day vacationing in the very best spots of the earth, and yet the load and the burden of life will continue to press upon you. I remember a story about a furnace man in a big steamship got into a violent argument with a shipmate. In the pit of anger, he killed the man, and without any warning, he threw the body in the furnace. It was a perfect crime, but whenever he went, he was restless. He traveled far and wide from place to place, but his conscience continued to bother him at all times. Nightmare did rob him of decent sleep. One day in his sleep, he started mumbling words such as, "I poke him in the head and threw him in the furnace. I poke him in the head and threw him in the furnace." He woke up from his sleep screaming, "I did it, I did it." That's what he keeps on saying. "I can't live like this any longer." He just broke down and confessed his sin. Be sure, if you have your sin and you haven't confessed it, be sure your sin will find you out. You need to come to Jesus for freedom and rest. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, 23, "But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." In the book of Romans, chapter 5, we have Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's one of the passages that I found that supports our claim that if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give us peace. He gives us peace of mind and of heart. That's the blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Note the difference between the two rests promised by Jesus. They are two great rests imaginable. Verse 28, we read, "I will give you rest first." That is the rest of salvation. Or justification. This is the rest of deliverance from the slavery and the bondage of sin. The power of Christ to conquer in these enslaving habits that demand the human body and destroy the human soul. It is the rest of the conscience that comes to a person's soul when he sees his struggle in the wilderness of sin. It is the rest of conquest and triumph which a person experiences when he conquers the enemy of sin and evil through the power of Christ. Day by day, it's the rest of deliverance through the daily storm of life. That is what he can do for us. The Lord said in the book of Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor walk in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of disconsolate, but his delight is in the
word of the Lord.
This is a person who has come to know the Lord and then taken him as his Savior. The Bible tells us that says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 26:3-4, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ forever. For in the Lord, the Lord is ever faithful to keep us strong and able to live a life of victory. So, the Bible says, if we believe in him, the Lord Jesus, as your personal Savior, you will have eternal life. Your sin will be forgiven. And then, in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5, we know this very well. Titus 3, Titus 3, verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us through the washing of generation and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So that is the kind of rest that the Lord is offering to us who might be in this category, that we feel distress and detached from the mercy and grace of God. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the only way that you can enjoy what it is to be a Christian and to be a child of God. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. This passage is the one that relates to the second promise of Christ to give us his grace and mercy to be able to overcome any trouble that has to do with our relationship with God. There's number, he shall rest. He said, you shall find rest unto your soul. This is the rest of sanctification, or of pleasure and satisfaction, of confidence and completion. This rest is not a rest of inactivity, or of no work, or of any endless slumber of the right to laziness, or the right to laziness. It is a rest of three things. It has to do to give us rest and refreshment, a rest of the body, the mind, and the spirit as we turn our life over to the mercy and power of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is the second time, the second offer that Christ had to, when you come to Him and to take up His cross, to take up His, take up the cross, or we let Him take care of us and give us encouragement and motivation to our soul, and allow us to have a overcoming spirit and life through the mercy and the grace and power of God. God gives tasks with, He will give you the task with your, with enthusiasm and vigor and in endurance. So those are the two things that he promised to us. First, He will give us complete rest, that we might know that we belong to Him, that we are part of His family, that He has brought Himself. The second is the rest that will give you as you live a life that is committed to Him. You trust Him as your Savior, and you let Him undertake for you and your daily need, in not only the physical need that you have, but the need that you might grow in the things that had to do with your relationship with the Savior, in giving you the Holy Spirit to allow you the strength to be able to live a life that's victorious, victory in Christ Jesus, rather than in your own strength. And in the book, of Second Corinthians, we have the message that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. So in the book of Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, nor imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to them the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. And this is the challenge of Paul to the Christians in Corinth, that we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as one that has been given rest, that we can actually be strong in our faith and in the understanding of His life's purpose for us, to live a life that is acceptable and pleasing and glorifying God. That is the message that Paul would like to give to all the other churches that he has been instrumental, and God has used him to have a fruitful ministry among those people that claim to be Christ's family and servant. Christ's family, Christ's children on this earth. As we come to the end of this passage, I just want to say if you are here this morning and you might feel beset by the yoke of your own life, do you feel distressed, depressed, exhausted, empty or lonely? Have you considered the Lord Jesus' invitation for you to come to Him, and He is going to give you your rest? Do you feel sometimes that you cannot go on any longer, that each step is more and more difficult, and you are sure that you are heading towards destruction? May I encourage you to consider the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ to come to Him, and He will give you rest. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Even at any age of your life, if you hear this word and hear the message from the Lord, He wants you to take this wonderful opportunity that He has given us. We can come and make Him as your Savior, your Lord, and your King. Someone have sung a beautiful song. It says, "Take my heart, O Lord. Take my heart and soul as you have promised." I have that song that we used to sing before as a young man, not a people, old man today, but the song is still good and powerful. It says, Into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, Lord Jesus. And that's what we hope that we will be able to sing in our heart. If you have not actually taken Him as your Savior, you can say in your heart, you can say, "Into my heart, Lord Jesus, into my heart. Come in today. Let Jesus come in to stay today." And we pray that as we close our time together in our study, I might have just shared with you some thoughts about how we could truly be able to live a life that would be in conformity or in accordance to what the Lord is expecting from each one of us as Christians. If we believe Him as our Savior, we are expected to have a life that we know the truth of life and how to live the truth of this life according to His will, according to the pleasure of our Savior, that our life is truly consistent to the kind of life that we would like to bear the reality of Christ in our lives, and that He can truly be well known in your family, in your life, in your home, that Christ is reflective in everything that you do. It shows that it is consistent to the life that is indeed living in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what I'd like to share with you this morning. That I hope in my people way of such talking, you will be able to get the message that I intended to share with you, that resting in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, the best way, that you can experience life to be centered in the knowledge that He is your Savior, your Lord, and your coming King, and that you know that in Christ there is no time to consider about dying without the hope that we have in Him, that is eternal life that He has promised, that if we will accept Him, the rest that you will give me, the rest that He's going to give us, is going to be with us forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Father, it's extremely difficult for your Son to be able to speak and carry the message that you would like me to share, for the limitation that this body has caused us to bear. But in spite of the weaknesses, the hindrance that and the enemy might want to use to stop me from being able to convey the message of truth, the message of the gospel, the message of your salvation, the message of rest, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, you can continue to use this people way that we have attempted to share the word, and somehow in your mercy you can use it to deal with our own personal need and concern and relationship with the Lord Jesus. We pray that even today as we walk away from this place, we might truly can say that I have come to the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, and I know that if it is my time for me to go, or my time for me to go and be with you, or to do something else, you will be able, dear Lord, to do what is best for your children. So I thank you for the privilege that we can worship you, and it's still in the feebleness of our body, we could continue, dear Lord, to sing praise and glory into your holy name. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege that we can come together and worship like this, and be with the men that are maybe very soon will be coming home from their retreat. We pray that as you have blessed us this morning, that will bless them, and you will bless them. And even others that are worshiping you in spirit and in truth, they might all together worship you and accept the challenge that the Lord Jesus Christ have for each one of us to live a life that is truly acceptable in your sight. I pray that you will just be with us today as we conclude our time of worship. For in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, I ask all these things. Amen.